Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We're continuing tonight on the book of Luke. It just so happens it's also Pi night, so I'll try to be as brief as we can and still do the lesson tonight. But we're on week three of the book of Luke, and you know that I always like to do a little bit of review so that we retain the information and then submit it to God to receive revelation. It's not good enough to just have information to know about the Bible if we don't know the author of the Bible, and for that we need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I want to go over some facts from last week very quickly by way of review. Number one, Luke is the only, first of all, Luke is the only Gentile writer of the Word of God. He wrote two books, Luke and Acts. All the other writers are Jewish writers. It was only Luke who was a Gentile. Luke is also the only gospel who uses the word Savior. Luke was the only gospel that ever used the word Savior. And he used it actually 8 times in Luke and 9 times in Acts. He used the word Savior. So we're going to talk about this tonight. First, we talked about last week, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. The angels are created beings who joined in, but the angel of the Lord means the angel who is the Lord himself. The others are created beings. This is Elohim. Whenever it says the angel of the Lord, that means the angel who is the Lord. If it says an angel appeared, then that means a created being that is not God. So Luke 2:13 says, and suddenly there was the angel of the Lord, that means the Lord himself, and a multitude with the angel of the Lord, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. So you have the angel of the Lord, God is there, and then all of a sudden, there appears a heavenly host praising God, and he's there and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. After Jesus was born, his parents brought him into the house of the Lord like we do to dedicate a child to present him, and they brought an offering, which is an offering of the poor, the turtle doves and et cetera, and to bring an offering. And there was this man named Simeon who was an elderly man, we believe almost close to 100 according to commentators, who had a word, who had been given a word by the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, I want to say that was rare in them days. And so, because the Holy Spirit had not come like he did in the book of Acts to stay. So he came upon people or to people individually, and it was rare to receive a word like that. So Simeon had received a word from the Holy Spirit that he would not die an earthly death until he saw Christ physically. He was in church. Surprise, surprise, that you would be in church and have an encounter with God, right? He was in church in the temple the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus for the dedication. He picked up the baby Jesus. The Bible says he came in the church in the Spirit, full of the Spirit. I love that. That's a good way to come to church, full of the Spirit already when you get here, okay? And so he comes in full of the Spirit. He picks up this baby Jesus who's presented to him in his arms, and he immediately begins to rejoice in the Holy Spirit. And he said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace. In other words, I can go home now. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I have now laid eyes on your salvation. He knows it's the Christ that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light and revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. Right there, we know that the gospel is to the Gentiles and also to the Jews. It's to both. So no one is left out. But it's interesting that Simeon would immediately, as he touched this child and he looked down at this child, that the same Holy Spirit that was on him would recognize him, that is Jesus immediately. There's a great message in this passage that they were in God's house when they encountered Jesus, but they had waited for years. And of course, we say it's worth the wait. When God has a blessing for you, whether it's a child that you want, that you've desired a long time, I know that people wait for marriages and things. It's worth the wait when you want the blessing of the Lord. But is it possible that if we keep coming to worship and serve in God's house, that you and I could also have the same encounter with Jesus Christ? And I would say an amen and yes. And that's why we continue coming to meet here with God, to have an encounter with God and to worship him. And that same Holy Spirit, it's so cool because he's here tonight. His presence is here. You could hear it in the worship as we sang and lifted up praises to him. There was also in that temple a woman who was a widow who was a prophetess, and we know her exact age. Her exact age was 105 at this time, and she too was waiting for Christ, and she was blessed also. She never left the house of God. She worshiped day and night. She prayed day and night, and she was waiting for an encounter with Christ the same. And she got very, very excited when she came in also, and we should be very excited about our encounters with Jesus. And I love that because God, it's never too late. These people were over 100. Simeon might have been a little bit under 100, but he was right there. They were octogenarians, I believe that's what they call people. Am I correct on that? Octogenarians, I believe so. Someone can Google that for me and correct me if I am incorrect. And here's the thing, even in our older years, we should still be continually encountering God, having God encounters and dreams and visions, just like the Word of God says. And so I would say that to sum up last week's lesson, it would be it's worth the wait. And something that occurred to me, because most of you know that my mother is 97 years old. She's not doing very well right now, but we believe that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And you know, when I read this about Anna and Simeon, and they're older, they're 100, and they're waiting for Christ, all I could think of was my mother sitting there in her chair telling me, I can't wait to see him. She too is waiting, and we should all be waiting for that day and anticipating the day when we too see him face to face. And, you know, I had some other stuff here I wanted to talk to you, but I think I'm going to save it for Sunday because I really wanted to get into some other stuff and begin Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, we know, is when he was on earth, he was fully man and he was fully God, fully man and fully God. He got hungry just like you and I got hungry. If he hit his hand with a nail or a hammer, he would hurt and suffer pain just like you and I suffered pain, or his death on the cross would be pointless, correct? And because he took our pain and he took in himself. So Luke chapter 4, let's start with verse 1. It says this, and Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did not eat anything, and when they were ended, he was hungry afterwards. And honestly, I could stop and share on this all night long, these words, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me stop there and say something. If Jesus needed to be full of the Holy Spirit, do you think we might do well to be full of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to go with yes. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be talking tonight about temptation. Just to let you know, because this is the story of the temptation of Christ, who was tempted in every way as we were. So he was full of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:3 says, and the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed to him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. In 1 second, he showed him everything. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me. And that's true. And to whomever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me. Okay, this gets twisted. This is twisted. This is the devil telling Jesus, if you will worship me, what's the chances of that happening? 0 to 0. all this will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, the written word, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. And again, I'm going to tell you what I did yesterday. Yesterday, when we read from Joshua 24, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether you will serve the gods of the Amorites. That word is not really serve as you look at serve. The Hebrew word is worship. Choose you this day who you will worship. Will you worship the gods you used to serve? But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. So we want to get it correct what the actual word means, worship. And him only shall you worship. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle, a high pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God, here's another word that is incorrect, if you be the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something. Satan knew, he knows he's the Son of God. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Jump. In other words, jump. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Maybe to keep you from jumping, right? And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you at any time dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt, which is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil ended all the temptation, he left from him for a season. For a season. The devil tempts, you resist him, you rebuke, he will leave for a season. Be ready. Be ready. So tonight I want to share just a minute, because people come to me all the time and say they have fallen into temptation or they have fallen into sin. First of all, I want to tell you that you may fall down the stairs. You may suddenly fall off your chair here tonight, but you do not fall into sin. You choose sin. It is not an accidental encounter. We choose sin. That was our message yesterday. I chose this. So that doesn't happen. So when we're tempted, there's a way of escape. That's what the Bible says. He's provided us a way out of that. Like, so you can't legitimately say, I had no way out. I had no choice. I was just in this situation. It just happened. I fell. You didn't fall. I chose sin. And I can choose the behavior, but I do not get to choose the consequences. You go right ahead and choose the drugs. You choose the affair, but I promise you, someone else will choose the sentence if you pull that trigger. 12 men, a jury, possibly. But you won't get to choose. There's a reward for those who obey that's built in. There is a consequence for those who disobey that's built in, and we do not get to choose that. So our choices matter. We talked about that yesterday. So we need to understand that. But I want to tell you how you can overcome temptation. A lot of people don't even think about how I can overcome it. Number one, the very first verse said he was full of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus overcome temptation? He was full of the Holy Spirit. How will I overcome temptation? Be filled with the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not good. It's not happening. You may have some issues. Here's the thing. It says this before the devil came and tempted Jesus. So when do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Before you're tempted of the devil. Now, like yesterday. It's important when we're tempted, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what's weak. If we're going to overcome the flesh, we need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. That is math 101. And the second way to overcome temptation, what is it? It is written, the word. If you know the word of God and you know what he says, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that, and that is in your mind, and you've made the decision to follow the word of God and to speak the word of God. Now, I've told people in classes I've done in my home before, I used to read the Bible just always to myself. And that's great. But the most powerful thing that you can do for yourself with the word is to find yourself a place where no one's around and speak the word. Why not read the word and hear your own voice and let your faith be built up? And let, while you're at it, let every devil in hell hear you reading God's word, filled with the Spirit, reading God's word. So I love to get, when no one's around or I'm downstairs by myself, even in the night, to read and read it aloud to myself. And I know that every devil in hell is listening. And it does make a difference. And here's why it makes a difference for you to read the word out loud by yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you are hearing the word of God from your own mouth, it is building something inside of you. It is changing you. So that's the first two ways. Be filled with the Spirit to overcome temptation. Number two, have the word in you and read the word and declare the word out loud. Speak the word of God. Speak the promises of God. Speak the Ten Commandments, what they are. They're not old school, by the way. And the third thing is rebuke and resist the devil. Get out, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Kick him out. You have a right to speak to the enemy. And you've heard me say this before, years ago, someone told me, you better be careful about trash talking the devil. I'm like, say what? He's not too careful about trash talking me. I'm going to return the favor. If that's the only language you know how to talk to me, then that's what I'm going to be speaking to you. Get out, get out. I resist you. I rebuke you. Can you do that? Yes, you can, because you're blood bought. You are redeemed and you're blood bought. You know, what does that mean? If I was a created angel, I wouldn't do that. I would let God. In the Bible, it tells about one of the angels, I can't even think where it is, saying he would not rebuke Satan. God, he said, God rebuke you. But I can rebuke Satan. I can do everything that Christ can do because Christ lives in me. And you and I have been covered by the blood. We have been given all authority to kick him out. That's pretty cool that we can tell him to get going. The temptation of Christ lasted for 40 days, and you know, most of us know, that the number of 40 represents two things. It represents a time of testing. It also represents a time in the wilderness. And a lot of times when you're being tested, you feel like you're in a wilderness, in a dry place. That's a test. Will you serve God when you can't feel him, when it seems like the heavens are brass and you can't reach God? Will we still stand on his word, trust in his word, and continue to do what's right no matter what? Verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth where he was brought up. This is Jesus now after this. He came to Nazareth where he was brought up, where he was raised. And as the custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read for the purpose of reading. And there was delivered to him, given to him, a book of the prophet Elijah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you how this worked. When they went to church, they would have someone go into the library and pick one of the scrolls, pick one of the books, and then they would select someone to come up. It could be anyone, randomly. You tonight, Frieda, and you don't even know what you're going to read. You're just going to read the word. But we're going to bring it up, and you're going to read the word. Well, this is the word reading the word. I love this. I just love this. The word reads the word. How powerful is that? And he's under the anointing and the influence of the Holy Spirit, just like us. And that's how we should be also. And this is what he said. This is what he reads, to preach the gospel to the poor. And he was from Nazareth. Nazareth, his hometown. That's going to come into play in a few minutes. To preach the gospel to the poor, this means to the needy, those who are in need. To heal the brokenhearted, there are so many brokenhearted people in the world. The gospel is what heals their lives. To preach deliverance to the captives, there are so many people even in the world today that need to be delivered from addictions and bondages and strongholds. Recovering of sight to the blind, the physically blind and those who have eyes to see, but they don't hear. Those who lack not just sight, but they also lack vision. To set at liberty those who are bruised. Who are the bruised people? You know, when Jesus was bruised, when one of the issues, there were seven issues of blood. One is his hands, his feet, his head, his back, his side, and one of them was the bruising that happened, the crown of thorns on his head. And the seventh one was his bruising. And I had always wondered about that until the Holy Spirit talked to me and said, the bruising is when you get a bruise, when someone hits you or punches you or just beats you, you have a bruise that's bleeding on the inside. It's what causes that wound there that's tender. And that is what speaks to the inner healing in our life. When we're bruised or wounded by someone and you can't see, you can't see the inside, but there's bleeding in there, like a bleeding heart when you're just brokenhearted. So he's going to heal the bruised also, and liberty to those, set those free who are bleeding inside and who have inside wounds and tender places that no one knows about except Jesus, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. So what happened when Jesus spoke this and read this? First of all, they were just marveled. And let me tell you why they just were in awe of this. Because it wasn't what he was reading, because you can read to read. You know that, right? But if you're reading under the influence with passion of the Holy Spirit, this is the living God, the Word reading the Word, you just know that they could feel it and they could see it. And that means they were without an excuse. And verse 20 says, and he closed the book and he gave it, returned it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 20 says, and that means the people couldn't take their eyes off of him. They heard with their ears this anointed voice, and they saw him in there, and they were just mesmerized by it. And here's the thing, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's everything. It's your body language. It's everything. Does he, the tenderness, the kindness, the anointing. And so he begins to speak, but he says something. And they, in those days, when you read the word, you could also share your heart too. And he began to say to them, verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He just read, I'm the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's on me. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said something very interesting. Isn't this Joseph's son? We have a problem. We have a problem here. Who cares? What do you mean, isn't this Joseph's son? Again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. They had begun to talk. They knew his words pierced their hearts, but they saw Jesus as ordinary, as just Joseph's son. Nothing here to see, nothing special to hear from him. He's just Joseph's son. Why would we have to listen to a message from Frida? It's just teacher Frida. Anointing, anointing, anointing. The power of God and the power of his word. And they missed it. They did not even recognize him, even though he was telling them, I'm it. I'm it. Today's the day you get to see me. And he knew what they're thinking. So here's what he said, verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted or honored in his own country. He's telling them, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, it's just me. I grew up here. I'm nobody special. You know where I went to high school. You know where I went to grammar school. Nobody special. Here's what he says. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was in the land. But none of them was Elijah sent to, except to a widow in Zarephath of Sidon, this woman who was a widow. And many lepers in Israel were there in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were healed or cleansed either, except Naaman the Syrian. And all they that were in the synagogue that heard him say these things were filled with anger, great anger, and rose up and threw him out of the city. And then they grabbed him and took him to the top of a hill whereon the city was built so that they could throw him down headlong. Wow. He's telling them, a prophet is not honored in his own. You can't do anything because people are unwilling to receive from you because they look at you as ordinary. This happens to people today, to leaders, to pastors, to teachers, to all kinds of people. It happens to you when you try to tell your family about Jesus. Who do you think you are? I know where you went to school. I know you don't have that kind of education in the Word to tell me that. You're just an ordinary person. You're just a flight attendant. You have no right to tell me anything, Vic. Tony, mechanic, Irma, nurse, no right to tell me anything except that we are anointed by Jesus Christ and we have been given the same authority to minister that Jesus has been given to minister. And these people were missing it. And I don't want to miss out on my blessing because I'm too prideful and I don't recognize Jesus and I don't recognize the anointing on people. Because you can't receive when it's like that. So Jesus passed through the crowd and went to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And there in Capernaum, now watch this, he has now left Nazareth. You look at me as ordinary, you don't want me, you don't think I'm anybody. But you know what? I can't do anything here because you can't receive. You won't receive it. And so he goes to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And there Jesus cast a devil out of a man, and Simon's mother-in-law was healed, and people began to come at that point from all kinds of all over, they had all kinds of diseases, which actually translate as little diseases, little things were wrong with them, and big things were wrong with them. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them and cast the devils out of many. Nazareth, you missed out. And Jesus came from your, it's like Taylor Swift going to her own hometown and them going, we don't want to hear you sing. Maybe somebody else wants to hear you sing, but we don't want to hear you sing. You came from here. You didn't get good grades in school. We don't need nothing from you. You miss out when you don't honor the gifts that God has given you. And these people begged him to stay with them, but he told them he had to go preach the kingdom of God of other cities. Isn't that what a difference that this one whole city missed out? Well, what did they miss out on? Well, I can tell you, they had a lot of sick people there. They had sick people. Don't tell me they didn't have people that had devils in them over there. They themselves just needed something cast out of them because they didn't even want Jesus. So they needed some devils cast out. They needed to hear the word, but they wanted to kick Jesus out. They dishonored him, disrespected him, and doing so disrespected the anointing of God, the Father. Watch this. They disrespected God the Father who sent him, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit all in one shot. All three of you go. We don't need you. How wrong is that? I need God the Father. He is my Father. I need Jesus Christ, whom Luke says 8 and 9 times is my Savior. I need him, and I certainly need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need it to overcome him to overcome temptation. That's something I'm always trying to correct myself and everyone else on. The Holy Spirit is not an it. We say we need it. We need it. We need the best. No, we need him. We need him. We need to give him the respect that he is due. And so they threw him out, but another town was only too glad. And you know what? If we will not allow God to speak to us and Jesus to be our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be here in this house, and we say we don't want that, which many churches do, or they want just jumping and fire and dancing and they're not really into the word, guess what's going to happen? He's going to go. Quench not the Holy Spirit. You can't dishonor his word. His word must take precedence. His word, and the Holy Spirit must take precedence. And he was able to lay hands on every one of them. I love that the word says every one of them. No one in that city missed out, and everyone in this city missed out. I don't want that to be said of this church in the city that we missed out. Let's our praise and worship team can get ready, because we are going to worship for a few moments here and then be treated to some pie. But I think it's so interesting that these people were begging for Jesus, and that should be what we do. We should be crying out for Jesus. Stay in my life, Jesus. Don't leave me. Just like King David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And the reason, I've told you this before, I'll tell you one more time in Psalm 51. Why do you think King David wrote Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me? Because I know the answer. When I asked God, he told me. It's because King David saw Saul, what happened, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit departed from Saul. And David wrote that later on, don't let that happen to me, God. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And that's what should be the cry of our heart. I don't want to miss out. You know, I think my favorite part of this whole lesson tonight, and we're going to be continuing on the book of Luke next week, is the word reading the word. Oh, my goodness. I can just picture Jesus reading the word. May we, and that we can read the same word that he read. We can be filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwells in us, and that will bring healing to our lives, and that will quicken our mortal bodies. So in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill each and every one of us. Let it be said of us. When they write our story, God, let it be said of us. And she and he was filled, full of the Holy Spirit. And when the devil came, was able to send him on his way. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God. Thank you for there's healing in your word. Father God, there's deliverance in your word, Father God. If I had nothing but the word of God, Father, I thank you that we can speak your word. We can declare your word, Father God. And Lord, let that be our life testimony, and let it be our life mission, Father God, to speak your word to others, Father God, to bless others, Father God. Father God, we were here created to come here and be your family and to be your ambassadors and your representatives, Father God. And Father God, may everyone we meet, Father God, leave with a blessing. Lord, may we speak your word to them and find that they are healed, Father God. Father, may it pierce their hearts, Lord. Let us say it with love and conviction, Father God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If anyone here tonight has any kind of a need, Father God, I pray that that need is met right now in Jesus' name. I pray that healing is taking place. Even those that might need a healing touch that don't even know or may not even be aware. Father God, we reject and rebuke the plan of the enemy against anyone, Father God. Father, we thank you that your plans for every life here will be fulfilled. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.